How did you come here?
I came with a children's transport, which was arranged by the Quakers, the Society of Friends.
And where had you come from?
I'd come from Vienna.
Why had your parents allowed you to come?
Well, they could see no future for me. They were frightened of what would happen to me. And they themselves couldn't get out. And they sent all their children, 3 children.
Did you know what was happening to you?
Well, not clearly. I mean, I thought I would see my parents again. I knew I was going to someone I'd never seen before, but my parents had communicated by letter to the lady, and I knew I was going to a good home, but I didn't know where.
Can you understand how it must have felt for your mother?
Well, I think she must have felt absolutely awful. I mean, she... 3 children, you know, disappearing, and she obviously knew that she'd never see them again. And, well, it must have been dreadful, dreadful for her.
Were you aware, when you were younger and before you left home, of other families being parted in this way?
Yes, yes. You know, there was a general exodus. Most people tried to get the children out, even if they couldn't get themselves out. They tried to get the children going. And I must say, the British government was quite good about that at that time. They did take in a lot of children.
Were you scared that it was going to happen to you when you saw other children having to leave home?
Yes, and in a way, I know it sounds selfish, but I was glad that I could had the chance of leaving. Because I saw such terrible things, you know. I remember coming home from school and seeing an old man having to scrub the floor, the pavement, and a whole lot of brown shirts, you know, the Nazis, standing round, poking him with the rifles, and all everybody laughing and jeering, and I mean, this sort of thing happened, and it was, you know, frightening. It was terrible.
When you had to move schools, were you aware that the kids who were not Jewish were sorry for you, or were they pleased you were being humiliated in this way, do you think? Had they been indoctrinated by the regime?
I don't think that we, you know, had anything more to do with them, really. We were just whisked off and that was it. I don't know what the reaction really was. We had a lot of non-Jewish friends, and I don't really know what the reaction of the children was. I think we had so many worries. I think that was the least of our worry, whether they would play with us. I think most of the time my mother would keep us in anyway by then, you know, but she would be frightened of what they might say.
Were you aware then, I mean, you say you saw this old man scrubbing the pavement. Were you aware of attacks on Jews?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. The thing was that my family didn't really look Jewish, and we didn't have a Jewish name. I was called Marley, and so I wasn't so obviously Jewish, but anybody who faintly looked Jewish was attacked. You could walk down the street and have people attacking you.
Physically?
Jeering, yes, yes. Spitting at you and that kind of thing.
And you remember that very
clearly? Oh, yes, yes.
And these were just ordinary people, not soldiers, not branches.
No, no. You see, I've always had this feeling, now everybody pretends the ordinary Austrians, the ordinary Viennese weren't Nazis. They were all Nazis. If you scratched one of them, you found a Nazi underneath. I just don't believe, now they pretend they were good people, but they weren't. There were very few. The few that were ended up in concentration camps like everybody else. If there were some Catholics who were good and helped some Jews or protested, they were whisked off as well. You know, I don't think there were so many who weren't Nazis.
Do you think a lot of them just joined in because they were scared not to?
Well, there must have been some who did that, but some enjoyed it. I mean, if you're, for instance, we had to leave our flat because it was a council flat we lived in, one of those modern flats built in the 30s by the socialist government there. And so we had to leave it as soon as the Nazis came. And somebody moved in. Well, they would be pleased. They wouldn't worry about us.
Yeah.
And we had to leave all our furniture, piano, everything was left. We just had to leave. It wasn't a question of, would you mind going out? You were told you must leave this house by tomorrow or in the middle of the night, whatever, you see?
So you lost everything
that
you owned?
Yes, yes.
And you were used to this happening around you?
Yes, the only reason we had somewhere to go to was my uncle actually owned the whole house where my mother and father and brother went to. So that wasn't taken away till much later.
They went as well?
Yes, because they were sent to Theresienstadt.
So everything was taken away?
Yes, but after the war, my sister went back, and because he had left a will, and the house, half of that house was left to her. But by the time they'd paid all the lawyers and everybody, she didn't get anything out of it.
And did you manage to rescue any keepsakes from your family, furniture or anything?
No. I have a tablecloth that my mother knitted, a lace one.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't really anything. No.
Nothing left at all, no photographs, nothing.
Well, that was a sad thing also, that we haven't really... I have a photograph of my parents, taken at that time, and they look awful, all thin and worn.
Mm-hmm.
Dreadful.
And that's the only one.
Mm-hmm.
Were you aware at that age of the political situation in Germany?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. We were all frightfully frightened. I mean, it was really traumatic. I saw my father cry, and I'd never seen that before. You know, it was terrible, really.
Do you feel when you look back that when you left them, that they knew that they would never see you all again?
I think they had a jolly good idea that they, it was on the cards that they wouldn't see me. Because, you see, war was declared on the 3rd of September, and I'd only just arrived the end of June. It was a very short time, things looked pretty grim.
Mm. Do you feel, looking back, I mean, are you bitter that you lost your family in this way?
Well, of course, I'm very sad about it all. I wish that I could have got my parents out. But it was impossible. They had no money by then, and my father lost his job, and there was nothing for a Jew to do. You know, it was terrible conditions. We had to leave our house. The family was split up even before I came. Before I came to England, my father, mother, and brother lived with an uncle who had a house, and we had to share there. My sister lived with somebody else in the family. I lived with an aunt. You know, it was all split up already.
So it had begun long before you left?
Oh, yes. Because there had been a pogrom in November of 38. And that was dreadful. I mean, I was still there. My sister was already in England, but I was still there. And it was frightening, I mean, really.
Were you forced as a child to identify yourself as a Jewish
child? Oh, yes, yes, because we had to leave. You see, I went to a good grammar school, a girls' grammar school, and no Jew was allowed to go to a grammar school, you see. So we then had to leave en masse from that school and go to an ordinary, it was called Hauptschule. But the thing was that some of our teachers were Jewish too, so they came as well. So we had the same teachers. But you see, I did, for instance, in that school, you did Latin in the first year, English in the third, and then if you stayed long enough, French in the fifth. Well, I'd had 3 years, so I had done 1 year of English and 3 years of Latin, but all this was stopped in this school, you see. You were sort of doing arithmetic and German.
Much more basic work.
This next section, my mother is talking about her journey across from Europe on the Kinder transport boat.
You never know, you might find someone who's on the same boat and
Well, that could well be. I remember on this boat, of course the children were all frightened. We'd never been most of us had never seen the sea before. You know, we were all coming from the middle of Europe. Because I was a little bit older than some of the others, there was supposed to be, in each cabin, there were supposed to be four children, one older one and one younger one, but in mine there were three young ones and me. And they were all crying and being sick, and it was pretty ghastly. I sort of gave one my container for being sick in, and then wondered what I would do if I were to be sick, but it didn't happen.
When you arrived, do you remember how you felt? Were you frightened or bewildered?
Well, yes, my sister was already here, and we arrived at Liverpool Street Station. And I remember there was a sort of barrier, and my sister was standing there waving madly. But we were rushed away because I think we had to catch a train to Coventry. And so I never even kissed my sister or greeted her or anything. But the following, I think it must have been the following week, the following weekend, she came to visit me from London.
And you were pleased to see her?
Of course.
Did you feel lost and did you feel foreign at that time?
Yes, a bit, yes. Because my English was practically non-existent and my guardian couldn't speak German. So it was difficult at first, but it was such a wonderful household I went to. You know, fabulous woman.
This is the lady that you eventually called your aunt?
Yes.
When you came to Britain and you arrived here, and you knew you were coming to a family, did you know anything about the family at all?
I think I knew there were three sisters living together, all teachers. And that's about it. Really, the connection was made originally by a cousin of mine, Ilona, who used to go to Bielefeld and on holiday. I'm not quite sure what she did there, but maybe she took English people around, I don't know. But she met there the headmistress of that school I went to in Bars Hill Grammar School. And this lady had said that she wanted to help somebody, and she knew of somebody who wanted to help children out. Mm. And my cousin Ilona had said, well, I've got a small cousin who needs to get out. And this is how it all started. That's how the names were exchanged.
And this was the beginning.
Yeah.
But there was a large movement. There were a lot of children who came out at that time to the Quakers.
Yes, over 9,000 children the Quakers took out. They arranged for...
Did you speak any English at all?
I'd had 1 year at school, that's all.
So it was very limited.
Yes, very limited, yes.
What was the full name of your adopted aunt?
Margaret Kershaw Scholes, and she came from Oldham in Lancashire.
And you kept your own name, your own family name, which
was... Yes, Marley.
And how do you spell that?
M-A-R-L-E, accent aigu. It's got an accent on it. It's French.
And then when you came here, you just kept your name right through. You
know, when I married.
And you came first of all to Coventry.
Yes.
And what date did you arrive in the UK?
On the 22nd of June, 1939.
May I ask how old you were then?
14.
Mm-hmm. And if there's anything else I need. And you've been in Scotland since 1950, is that right?
Yes, yes.
This is the lady that you eventually called your aunt.
Yes, yes.
She brought you up,
Yes, she did, yes. She brought me up. She paid for my education. She was wonderful, really an extraordinary woman. Never made you feel you owed her anything. Always approved of what you did. And fabulous woman, really.
Did she welcome your sister into the home regularly?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. She asked that my sister should come, of course. And, she was... I've never met anyone quite like her since.
When you look back and you remember those days of your childhood, do you remember the first days that you went to school here in Britain?
Yes. In fact, I arrived on the 22nd of June and I went to school on the next day, the following day, because... My aunt Margaret, as I called her, she was a history teacher at Bars Hill Grammar School in Coventry. And so I went to school the following day after my arrival.
So it was straight into school learn from the beginning. You weren't cosseted at all?
Well, I wouldn't say cosseted, but they were in the middle of the exams, I remember. And I did the art exam, only I didn't know what the questions were about. They had to be explained. And then I followed my aunt for a bit. Whatever she taught, I was in the same class. I sort of followed around the school for a bit. And then I just joined the ordinary class. And less than 2 years later, I was sitting school certificate. So.
And your English obviously came along.
Yes, I think so, yes, because I had to speak English all the time.
Was your aunt then one of the Society of Friends? Was she a
Quaker?
Yes,
she was a member, yes, she was a Quaker. And she had heard about what was happening in Germany and Austria. And she let it be known that she wanted to adopt somebody, to get somebody out, a child out.
Did your mother make contact with you after you left Austria?
Yes, I had about 2 or 3 letters after. But then you see, there was such a short time, you realise.
Mm. Yes, it was very, very short.
And we were scared to write through the Red Cross, because in case they were hiding, you see, and we didn't want anybody searching for them if they were hiding. They are just sort of... they're really rather limited in language, because she's trying to write in English and her English wasn't all that good. But, they are mother's letters that she would try and not cry, I suppose, when she wrote them.
Yeah. So you didn't know what had happened?
No. My brother-in-law, that's my sister's husband, he was in the army of occupation, and he had special leave to try and search for them, see what happened to them. And I'm not quite sure whether I was told the real story of this or a sort of expurgated version, but what I was told by him was that they were sent on a transport from Vienna in 1942 to Poland. And a Jewish doctor who was also sent, he made a list of the names of the people on that train. But they never arrived. There was no record of their arrival. So whether they died on that train, I don't know. It could well be because they were sort of cattle trucks with people just pushed in, you know, far too many in a truck and so on, without food and water. So it could well be that they died on the journey. I don't know.
And you'll never know?
No, I won't know. No. Because even I was in Israel, and there is a place there where they have collected the names, because the Germans were frightfully efficient. When they killed people, they kept records in the concentration camps of all the people they processed. It's like what they call processed. And there are these thousands of names, but they tried to look up the name, but they couldn't find it, so I don't think they ever got as far as the concentration camp.
So they died en route, you think?
I think so.
And quite soon after you left?
Well, about 3 years after I left.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Gretel, my mother, now talks about the support she received from her guardians.
Did they encourage you to get on when you came to England and to go to school and the usual things that
happened? Oh, yes, this is exactly, yes. She sort of felt that I must behave well and I must do whatever the ladies said and so on and so forth. And I did try. I mean, you know, my guardian was a history teacher and I was determined to do well in history. And, you know, I did. That was one of the things that I must say I did work out.
Did she become for you a substitute mum, do you think?
Yes, yes, yes. And she had a very sweet sister called Olive, who was a very motherly sort of lady and charming, you know, lovely. And she would come and tuck me in and kiss me, that kind of thing, you know. Mm-hmm. That helped greatly.
Yes, because it must have been difficult for women who'd not had children around.
Yes, yes, yes.
I mean, it's one thing to welcome another child into your home.
Yes.
You already have some.
Yes.
If you haven't brought any up, they were learning, weren't they, with an adolescent?
Yes. Although they had also, I was telling you about their real niece, they had had a lot to do with her as well. So they were used to sort of teenager.
Mm-hmm.
They were, and of course, you see, I came to Coventry and then the war broke out and the school was evacuated. And the whole school went to Leamington on Spa. And then nothing happened in Coventry, no bombing for a bit. And we all came back. And then, of course, there was the Blitz, and we were right in the Blitz, and my school was bombed. And we were evacuated again to Atherstone in Warwickshire. But because of that, I lived with a lot of other children together, and my aunt was there all the time, which was more than some of the children. You see, the other children didn't have their mothers with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that made it easier, because it was a boarding school then, and the mothers and fathers came to visit at the weekend, that kind of thing, and I had my guardian there all the time.
Was she very pleased when you went on to study?
Yes. I think she took a delight. In fact, this is what made us so lovable, because she took a delight in any success, you see. She really took a great delight. She never disapproved of anything. I don't know, she was just wonderful.
She sounds very special.
Yes, she was.
She, as a Quaker, did she ever try and suggest that you should join her in her worship?
Oh, no. I mean, I used to go with her to meetings, into the meeting house, but she would never have... No, she wouldn't want to convert me or anything. No, that wasn't in it. And at first I used to listen, because I don't know whether you've ever been to a meeting house in the Quakers. Well, most of the time you just think, and you can think any thoughts you like, but every now and then someone is moved to get up and say something, you see. But after a bit, I asked if on the Sundays I could take a book with me, and she said, certainly. So I would read a book, and then if somebody spoke, I would listen, and that was it. No, she wouldn't. She wasn't the type to be evangelical or anything. No, Quakers don't do that.
How did you go about then following your own religion?
Well, I'm not exactly terribly observant, but I'm very proud to be Jewish. And I even belong to a synagogue now, but I must confess that's because my daughter-in-law likes to keep a Jewish house, and I like my own grandchildren to participate, and so I go as well on occasion, but it's only for special days that I go to a synagogue.
Can I ask you what happened to your sister and to your brother?
Well, my brother, he went to Israel just before I went to England, and he's in a kibbutz and very happy. He's got three children. My sister came here, and she came as what was called lady's companion, but turned out to be housemaid. And I don't know whether you want to recall this, but it was in in the household of a man who became minister for agriculture.
Oh, I can't remember back that far. It doesn't matter.
Anyway, and it was a upper-class English household. Can you imagine? She was made... It was like upstairs, downstairs, you know? It's fantastic. And she came from a house where, you know, she used to go to opera and that kind of thing, and there she was emptying potties.
Oh, God! How long did she last?
Not very long. she was really very unhappy there, as you can imagine. The only nice one was... Really, the man who finally became Minister for Agriculture, Soames, you know Soames?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Because he was about 18 at that time, and he used to call her in for silly things, you know, and put on records that she could hear, because he knew she brought masses of music with her, you see. So that was the only nice thing. No, then... Two ladies came to the house of the Soameses, and they met her, and they sort of said, oh, she can't stay here. And they took her in, and she was married from their house. So,
so it was a happy ending,
yes,
after all.
Yes, yes.
And quite soon after you left?
Well, about 3 years after I left.
Mm-hmm. When you look back and your time as a teenager here, do you think back at yourself as being a German teenager?
No.
Or British?
No. I always felt myself more English than the English. I hated everything to do with German. I really didn't want to speak German, hear German, read German or anything.
Uh-huh. What about now, though? You're here in Scotland.
Well, funnily enough, recently I've thought maybe I ought to start reading a bit of literature, German literature, because... I haven't really, what do you read before you're 13, before you're 14, it's rather minimal, really.
And you've been here ever since?
Yes.
Do you ever go back? Do you ever want to go back to Vienna?
I was back in 1948 to see who was still alive. An uncle of mine, a dentist, he'd been to Dachau concentration camp, but he got out. At that time, you could still get out sometimes if you got a visa to England. And he came here during the war and then went back to his wife. She wasn't Jewish and she stayed in Vienna all during the war. So I went to see who there was, but that was all there was.
Just left. The two of them?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Do you ever want to go back now?
No, not really, no.
You said you were homesick, so it was homesick for here.
No, homesick for England, never homesick for Austria, no.
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 So you don't even consider yourself British completely?
Oh, yes. Yes.
And with your brother in Israel, have you ever been tempted to move?
Well, yes. At that time when I went there for a year, I thought I might stay, but I didn't really because I was too homesick for here, really. Mm-hmm. Couldn't stay.
Yes, because your husband was Jewish too.
Yes, my husband was Jewish.
Did you find that it was easier, did you find you gravitated more towards people who were Jewish when you came here to work?
No, not at all, in fact. No, you see, I have a lot of non-Jewish friends. In fact, I have very few Jewish friends. I mean, my relations are Jewish, but I don't really have Jewish friends.
So it was just a happy coincidence.
We've never asked anybody, you know, if I meet somebody, I don't say to them, what religion are you? If I like a person, I talk to them and we become friends. And the fact that one is a Catholic and one's a Protestant and one's a Jew doesn't really make any difference.
As a mixture of all three.
Well, you know, I have a very good Catholic friend and I have lots of Protestant ones, and yes. It doesn't really make any difference. Yeah. If you like a person, that's it.
Yeah, doesn't matter at all.
No.
Can I ask, it may seem a silly question, but how did you get from entomology to pottery?
Ah, well, yes, good question. Well, because I had children, I had to stop work, you see, so then I had to do something, to do. And I was always interested in pottery, actually. I'd met Bernard Leach down in Cornwall once, and anyhow, I was always keen. So my husband said he'd make me a wheel if I was any good at it. So I started taking classes, and when my girls were born, I started really pottery. And he made me a wheel, and I worked downstairs, and I have a little workshop downstairs. And so it grew, and I've now been doing it for 31 years.
And you never went back to entomology?
No, no, because, you see, after a few years, you find you're out of date. They've got new methods and so on. No.
When you look ahead or you see something now about any kind of persecution, do you get extremely upset about it? Are you moved to do something about it?
Well, I get upset about it, but I haven't joined any groups or anything to do anything about it. I suppose I should.
I just wondered if perhaps an experience like that would make you fear that it could happen anywhere. Do you think it could?
Well, I think the Germans are a particular lot of people. I don't know. I hope that it couldn't happen like that anymore. I don't think it could, that you can kill 6 million people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Systematically, so well organized, so cold-bloodedly. It's not, I mean, I can understand a pilot dropping a few bombs. I can understand that because he doesn't actually see what happens to each individual person that he kills. But to go and torture and skin people, that kind of thing, it's unbelievable! It's that human beings can do this to one another. I can't really describe it.
For your own children and your grandchildren now, some growing up in France, some growing up here, what do you want for them?
Well, I just want them to be happy. I think that it gives me great joy to find that I have, in fact, 5 grandsons. And I sort of feel every time something like that happens, I say one in the eye for Hitler, you know. Because, I now even have a Jewish name, Shapiro, you know. And there are 3 new Shapiros, which is wonderful.
One last question. What do you think you missed in your childhood, apart from having mum and dad? Do you think that your aunt managed to make up for most things?
I think she did make up for most things. Perhaps the only thing, I think our household was more musical. I mean, there was more music in it. But that's about it. But then, you see, a lot of the childhood I spent in school, really. So it wasn't so much lacking. I think I had a very happy childhood as far, you know, as one can without one's mother.
Mm-hmm.